You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Francis Albert Sinatra bringing us in for a third hour of Wake Up Tucson. If you miss anything at 10:30, The Voice, KVOI, local news and talk, go to KVOI.com. All the podcasts are there. What are you going to say, Eddie?
This town was a quiet town.
That's true.
Till you came around.
There's some truth
Just
to that.
Just saying.
There's some truth to that. Thank you. You're a sweet talker, Betty Crocker, as we used to say in the old days. Remember this hour of great, well, semi-great radio brought to you by Central Arizona Block, CabcoAZ.com. They're a masonry company that does it all here in Tucson at their place off of Valencia near the Airspace Museum. Three great locations, that place on Valencia, Alpha Wetmore, and then out in Sierra Vista. Bricks, blocks, pavers. Ed's wall for his, and he has a moat now around his mayor's house in Pliskin Acres now. So Ed, I'm working with Reed Park, mm-hmm. and they're bringing in about four crocodiles.
There you go. I'm feeling safer already. All right.
Work your moat in Pliskin Acres.
I got a couple extra couches I can put in the bag. It's just
right.
Great.
Yeah, just a couple of burnt out mattresses.
I got some mattresses. I got some grocery carts. It's the alligators will love it. It's great.
You're the man, Ed Alexander.
Thank you, sir.
So after we had Deb here for an hour, Ferns, and we were talking about cat movies and things like this, I can't think of a more natural person to come in and class up this discussion than Diana Cannon from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be here again.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Ed, can you jack up her mic a little bit? She sounds a little low. Be a pro. Good morning.
Be a pro. There. Okay. Is that better? I got closer. When he said be a pro to Ed, I went, okay, Diana, you can do this. You can do this. Don't get lipstick on the microphone, though.
Never thought of that. Okay.
That's not bad. So you guys, how long have you been in the new digs now?
A year.
It has been a year,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah, it was a year in April, and we're just loving it. The animals are loving it, and our guests are loving it, so all is good.
So now that you've had a year of looking at the effect that the new facility has on operations and the experience, what are some of those kind of specific things coming back that you're noticing?
One of the things we're noticing is that the flow, you know, because we didn't have a good flow to be able to service the animals before. So
right.
Now we've really increased our efficiency because the flow is better. When an animal comes in, they're immediately seen by a team. The veterinarian her office is right there.
Right.
So then she can say, okay, this cat or this dog needs intensive care, and boom, you just walk right over there. You don't have to, we don't have to jump all over each other to try and find a kennel for them.
I know that you may not know the specific number, but what's the kind of average intake of a variety of animals?
That's a good question. We take in about 5,000 animals a year.
That's crazy.
And one of the things that our community supports, and many people don't understand, is that the average cost of care that comes for an animal that comes through our door is $951. Average cost of care. And this community has just helped us do that year after year after year with their generosity, because we don't get any federal money. We
right.
don't get any county money. So everything that we do, that $951 comes from the donations of our generous.
Well, you're kind of living the dream here, because what's happening is you are providing world-class service.
We are.
Right? Without
Absolutely.
The handcuffs of the government money.
Yes.
And you've been recognized for doing it all in the right way.
Yes.
And
Absolutely.
That's important.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. And we just won the Arizona Daily Star Best of Tucson, nonprofit to give to. So
wow.
we just won that. Yes. And that was for the second year in a row.
So
best place to give your money.
The again, it's something where you guys have such a reputation, and I know you're also talking to other places that take care of animals, some of these smaller.
Yes.
You know, they do consider you a valuable ally.
And we work closely with those other shelters and those other rescues.
Yep.
Whether or not we can, sometimes we can help provide food, sometimes we can, medical assistance. So, yes, we have close allies with our community and with those around us, you know, for those organizations in Benson and Douglas and Sierra Vista.
Sure, the Southern Arizona thing
is
taken seriously.
It's all Southern Arizona. We take it seriously.
Tell me about of course, we love the idea that our listeners support you guys financially, but there are services that people who have animals now could be taking advantage of at the Humane Society.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think we talk about that enough. What are those things?
You know, we have, our clinic is world-class, if you will, if I can use that phrase.
Sure.
So we have low-cost spay and neuter services, low-cost vaccination. We have a wellness program now. So, if you've got a concern, you don't have a veterinarian, you can call and make an appointment for a wellness check. Our education program is, far and above. I mean, when you think about the youth that we have, and we want to teach them what it's like to be a responsible pet owner.
Right.
So we're in classrooms in, 30 some odd schools, and we're teaching children the right way to have a pet and be responsible. So those are the kinds of, and we do summer camps and we bring in different animals so that they understand desert life as well, that
sure.
We also treat. Just recently we got a, 500 pound, I swear to God, he looked like he was 500 pound turtle, that someone brought in, but we didn't say no. We took him in and then we found the right rescue for him to be adopted.
The, a 500 pound turtle is a heck of a something to get dropped out on.
I say
on
500, but he was probably, but he was a good, at least 100 pounds.
Let's be sensitive to him. A husky turtle.
There we go. Yes. Let's be politically correct. A husky turtle.
You never get that name out of your head, the husky turtle.
But we do, the other thing that we've just started offering too is dog training. So if you adopt an animal from us, you can sign up for an 8-week class and bring your animal in and we'll provide the training for them. So, I mean, we do charge for it, obviously, but because that's, staff time. But
so this Saturday, we're going to sweat for pets.
We are.
Now, Ed, you don't necessarily have to sweat, Ed. If you don't want to, you could walk if you want.
This is like, what's his name with the workouts? Sweating until the oldies.
Yeah, yes. Richard Simmons.
Yes, Richard Simmons. This is sweating for pets. I can do that. For pets, I can do anything.
Yes. And this year, we're going to be at Keno North.
Okay.
So we move locations. So there's going to be lots of space there and lots of vendors. You raise a good point because you don't have to come and walk if you don't want to. You
right.
can raise money virtually. Just go to the website and ask your friends and family to join your team and raise money for the animals.
So hssaz.org, go to events and you'll see 5th annual Sweat for Pets this Saturday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Where at Keno North are you guys going to be?
On the north side.
Okay. So you're going to screw up my parking for soccer, right?
No. Just kidding. No. That's a great park, so there's lots of space. So no, we're not
exactly
going to mess
up.
Yeah.
So that's perfect.
Yeah.
And the weather's going to be
perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's the perfect.
It's a lot of fun. It's music. It's, you see the pets. We've got contests for costumes. And so you just come and enjoy it.
What kind of costumes? Like people dress as dogs or cats or just anything?
The animals dress up.
Oh.
And their owners.
Okay.
So you could be Dorothy and Toto and, all kinds of things.
Have you ever
dressed... You could be Shrek.
Thank you. People have said that before. Have you ever dressed up your pets?
Yes, I have. And my husband will go, oh, no, poor Dory. Here she goes again.
Yeah.
I've dressed her up for a wedding, a little wedding dress on her.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of dog is this?
She was a rescue. She was she was my first foster failure. And she has her little U of A dress. She puts that on too when we go to U of A events. So.
No, Ed and his
wife.
She's
a terrier mix.
Don't blame me. Don't look at me.
Why not,
you know,
look
what?
At you?
Ed,
because I'm not
kindred.
The one who dresses up the pets.
Oh, you're going to blame this on your wife?
Mrs. Alexander.
Really?
And my daughter. So for Halloween, my daughter dressed up her horse. Okay?
What did she dress her horse up as?
Well, you put a sheet on him with the holes in it, and you look like a big ghost. It's a horse.
I'll be darned.
Yep. And the dogs were all dressed up, and it was, I wasn't there. Thank you.
So when you and Julie go out for Halloween, uh-huh. does she dress you up for Halloween? Is that does she treat you like one of the dog or the cat, and so she dresses you up too?
She leaves me at home and takes it.
All right, Chris, I dressed up for Halloween.
And what did
I was just a little old lady. I was a little old lady. Okay, now no smart remarks about you're already an old lady.
No, I didn't say any of that. You're a vivacious woman, as
Thank
we like to
you.
Say.
Thank
All
you.
Right, so fifth annual Sweat for Pets
yes.
is
yeah.
going on this Saturday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yes.
It's only $10 registration. Of course, the dog walks for free. I like that. And remember, you know, I can't put your dog on a leash.
Yes, yes. And if you have a cat that walks on a leash, you can bring your cat.
Or a turtle.
Yay. Or a turtle. It's usually not recommended just because the dogs sometimes don't react to cats well, but some people have brought their cats and put them in a backpack. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know those little carriers?
Sure.
Sure.
The baby Bjorn for your cat.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a fun day.
And then remember, real quick before we let you go, February is your big annual event.
Yes.
And you have, what's the name of this this book slash movie?
So we are bringing in Brett Stein, who is the author of The Art of Racing in the Rain.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was a movie that has just been, it's actually been out now. It's released on DVDs.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's where the dog takes on the persona of a human, and he goes through life with his humans, and he responds to that all of through their life. But the thing that attracted him is he started watching race cars and racing on TV, and so that's how he got interested in the art of racing.
It made me cry. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. So Garth Stein is going to be with us on February 8th. We'll get some publications out, notifications. It's going to be at the Doubletree. And then we're going to have a VIP event following at the Tucson Auto Museum.
Oh, perfect.
So it's going to be a fun day. We're really excited.
HSSAZ.org to find out what the Humane Society can do for you, your animals, and what you can do for them.
Thank you so much.
You're the best. I love seeing you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Diana Cannon, Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Ed, you tearing up on that racing through the rain.
That movie,
proves again that dog movies are always better than cat movies. And at the same time, it's good to see NASCAR is good for something. All right.
Formula One, I think, but that was tight. Yeah.
When we come back, you can call me at 790 with all of your NASCAR stuff. Wake up, Tucson. Who's this?
Cat Stevens singing Moon Shadow on a full moon Tuesday. That's what you get, boy. That's how that works. Good morning, sir.
Good morning
Christy
to you.
Simone.
Hey, Tony Amato and the ladies have a 6 o'clock Saturday playoff game, first round of the soccer playoffs, this Saturday night, 6 p.m. TCU. Go to ArizonaAthletics.com. Get your tickets right now and support those young ladies. They are fun to watch, and Tony and his crew have been an amazing, I think they've been a good part of this community. You know what I mean? They haven't, you know, kind of said, oh, we're off someplace else. So, Christy Simone, Ed Alexander.
Got a couple things backing up here.
Go, buddy.
Okay, first of all, Mays called real quick and said, Pet Cemetery.
That's true.
Cat movie. Okay.
The cats are dead and come back, but yes.
Okay.
And as Fred Gwynne says in that movie, that damn road. But keep going.
Jesse Lugo called to remind you that it was $16,800 raised by the Wake Up Tucson listeners last year's Bike in a Box, a radiothon. And the next one is coming up December 10th. Is that what you said? December
The 8th? Bike in the Box?
Yeah.
It's a week from Friday.
Friday. Right?
So Friday before Thanksgiving.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So that's going to be a throwdown and a half. So,
and Chris called back. He'd been waiting since you had Deb on and we got busy and stuff like that.
Sorry about that.
Best place to get a carrot cake.
This is a question?
Yes, which is a good question because I love carrot cake too with a good
cream
icing
cheese,
on top.
Cream cheese ice cream.
Yeah.
Icing on that is usually the best.
Right? What do you think, huh? Best place to get a carrot cake.
You know, of course, if you think about carrot cake is your basic, your places that you're known for bakeries.
Bakeries,
so, right?
Good bakeries.
So,
sure.
You know, and you guys help me out, 790-2040. Possibly Nadine's Bakery on Broadway would probably be a good place for a carrot cake. Beyond Bread probably makes a good carrot cake.
Oh.
Is what I'm thinking. So,
wow.
But
and the other place with a really good case is Café d'Art. I bet you they make a heck of a carrot
cake.
See,
that's
there,
so
right?
Café a la carte.
A la carte, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right, yep, at the Tucson Museum of Art is probably a pretty good pretty good choice. Listener Martin just sent me a one that said Beyond Bread. You know, check out that shop if on Wilmot and Speedway too, right behind the Beyond Bread there. There's what they call the back dough. So cute. D-O-U-G-H. And that's a truckload of different things in relation to, you know, baked goods and carrots and carrot cakes and stuff like that. So right now, Beyond Bread, Cafe a la carte, and then, of course, maybe Nadine's. 79020. I can't. This is how great our listeners are. Rob LeMaster, you're on Carrot Cake Talk. How can we help you today?
Good morning. Hey, some of the best carrot cake I've had in Tucson is in the OV at Trueland Burgers. Believe it or not, it's a giant slice. You can eat on it all week if there's just two of you, and it's awesome.
So you're talking about the Trueland that's basically on Oracle, just north of Ina. Right where the Guadalajara Grill is.
Exactly.
And so... Go.
Yeah, first time we went, we saw it go by and said, oh, we need one of those.
Well,
and we did.
Excellent.
We took it home and ate on it. Yeah, so it's amazing.
All right, thank you for the suggestion. I got one more to go. Trueland Burgers, Oracle North of Ina for kick-ass carrot cake. Thank you, Rob. Let's go to Charles on line three. Charles, good morning. Welcome to the show.
See ya.
Later, buddy. Charles, good morning.
The other phone broke, and now this one doesn't work on that line, so that's what happened there.
I think your fingers are broken.
No, remember it happened last hour. call Charles, you got... Here he is. Charles, we're on the air. Let's go.
Charles, what you got for me, buddy?
Two of them. Number one is the Corner Bakery at Wilmot and... Broadway, right near, just south of Wilmot and Broadway, over by where the Good Earth used to be, which I still miss dearly.
Yeah.
And the other one is the Blue Willow makes a fantastic carrot cake.
I think that the Blue Willow is a great choice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm
glad you reminded me of that. Good suggestions there, sir.
All right. See you.
This is what we're doing. We're doing county bullcrap, carrot cake, cat lounges. No one's giving you this in Tucson. Well, this is the best listenership. This is the best listening group ever. We give you the best carrot. Some guy calls up and says, "Hey, what's the best carrot cake?" And you guys are on it like, bam!
Boom.
I gotta read this thing when we get back. I know Rivera's out there someplace. We'll see how that all works out. But I gotta read some of the people who did the arguments for 463 who followed Chuck blindly into the hole. We got to do that too. So 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. Look at you playing a little GTR. What a maniac. So proud of you. 8:34 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, Zach's coming up next on the Creative City Show. Then we have Doug, Jen, and Victoria. I like to say my New York Victoria. Billy Buckmaster, Dave Ramsey, Lars Larson, and a young up-and-coming kid from the mean streets of Raton, New Mexico, Steve Rivera.
Whoa.
Stevie, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Raton, New Mexico. Where'd you get that from?
Aren't you? Oh, no. The other guy's from Raton. You're a Santa Fe kid, right, or something?
I'm a Santa Fe kid.
That's
right. Don't put me closer to Colorado.
Well, I mean, the streets of Raton are a lot meaner than the streets of Santa Fe.
I would think, yeah.
You got that right, yeah.
You know, Santa Fe with, you know, the retired 50-year-old guy with the silicone lips and... You know, the fake tans and stuff like that. I love Santa Fe, so I'm there.
Yes, it's a nice place. Nice place. Good morning, gentlemen. What time do you guys get up for this show?
You know, somewhere between 1 and 3 in the morning.
You're joking, of course.
3:45 to 4 o'clock is when I get up.
4:30 here, yeah.
Good for you guys. Good for you.
Well, it is good for us.
It's
tell me,
nice
in the morning. Tell me about the U of A game the football game last Saturday. How did they do?
Which side of the win?
The one that,
no, this is last one, like 3 days ago. How did we do? It's a joke. I know it was a bye. Come on, work with me.
No, no. In fact, I said this yesterday. The good thing is they didn't lose.
Right?
They go into this weekend's game. Take a guess as an underdog. How many points?
Well, we actually have been tracking this. So I know yesterday I was talking to Bill number two, and he had it at 25.5. Now it's up to 27, I think Ed said. What are you seeing?
I thought it was 24. It was 24 what I saw yesterday, what I heard yesterday.
Eddie A's got it at 27 to 27.5 as of about 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, that's going to probably creep up even more. Had I had any money, I would have given the 24.
Yeah, I think 27 is a bet on Oregon all day.
Yeah, still. I agree.
You know, Billy, we were talking about the Rutgers-Ohio State game, and that's at 52 points right now.
Really? Wow.
So what would you do in Ohio State-Rutgers? What would you take in that one?
I would take Ohio State, I think.
As we like
my son graduated from Rutgers.
As we like to say, it's for entertainment purposes only, Steve.
Yes, of course.
So we know that we fired our defensive coordinator. We haven't fired anyone since that, right, after the last loss?
As of 7 o'clock this morning, no.
Okay, good. Tell me about Chuck Cecil. Is it just the idea that even if he is the great, he becomes the greatest defensive coordinator, just doesn't have the horses right now to have a good defense?
No question. That's a good way to put it. He's in a no-win situation. No matter who you put there, they're not going to be able to solve anything because of the talent they have, without a doubt.
What can they do to mitigate the damage for this 8:30 ball game on Saturday night against the Ducks?
Oh man, that's a, I don't think they can. I don't think there's an answer for that. That's an unanswerable question. Don't show up. I don't know.
See, that's what I've been saying.
This is where this game. Just to tell you how sad your position is on this in relation to your lack of faith, right? I didn't even say how can they win this game. All I said was how can they mitigate the damage, and you're like, yeah, not show up. That's a crap place to be.
That's a trick question. It just is. You know.
Let's move on to basketball like we always do in this town.
All right.
Nice transition. About this time of year, too.
Were you at the game the other night?
Yes. Thanks for reading me.
Okay.
And so Ed Alexander is very excited about this team. He was excited after the NAU game. He was excited after playing the Marathon Oil All-Stars. Sounds like we have three great freshmen. So what have you seen so far in these opening couple of games?
That Ed gets excited over a lot of nothing.
Hey, you! Whoa, I like to see you go up against these dudes.
No. I was joking, of course, because he gets excited over whatever. But no, Sunday's game was fantastic. I had a great time because I hadn't had a great time watching a Sean team for a long time, because he let him run. He let him run and run and run some more. In fact, my questions to Sean after the game were all about them letting him run. And in fact, we had a little exchange there that made him laugh, and he was kind of humorous.
Wow. You say Sean Miller was humorous?
You need to go to the press conference video, and my voice is in there because he and I had this back and forth. Yeah.
Did he? So you're saying there was actual Sean Miller laughter?
Yeah. No, we distanced. The Loch Ness Monster does exist.
Wow, that's why he was in the emergency room with a cracked jaw from the laughing.
Yeah, he could be okay every now and again, and he's been actually very, very good so far this year. Very good.
So I know Ed's very excited by Nico. Very excited by Nico.
I'm excited by Zeke. Zeke is my man. I'm really excited about him.
I know you haven't read me, Ed, which is very disturbing to me. But
Ed doesn't read anything.
I try to stay off of social media as much as possible. Nothing personal.
What do you do for a living, Ed? What do you do? So you don't know what I gave him, the nickname I gave him.
No.
It's very obvious and very easy. After watching him play the previous game against NAU, because he'd been out with an injury the previous game, Zeke the Freak.
Zeke the Freak.
And why that nickname? What are the characteristics of this young man?
Ed, go ahead and explain. But he's a tall, lanky, very athletic guy. Scores points like no big man has.
Right.
Previously, even DeAndre Ayton didn't score as many as in the first game he played here. And very versatile, good shot blocker. He's going to be huge this year.
What's the what's their next game coming up? What, Thursday?
Thursday night.
Who are they playing?
Nobody.
It's going to be a while before they play somebody again.
Santa Clara.
The big game to wait for is Gonzaga.
Okay, and that's before the holidays, or
no? It's after they go to LA.
14th.
But that's the 14th of December.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, Steve, tell me about Adia Barnes and the Lady Wildcats. How did they start off their season?
No, fantastically. Have you had her on your show yet this season?
I have. We just had her on maybe a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. Everyone's enthused. What, 3,500, 4,000 watched the first game, which is a great sign of things to come. The city is, I'm not sure, a buzz, but they're very excited about what's going on.
Well, again, she's right now, is she the, of all the sports coaches and person, anyone in the athletic department, isn't she the personality rock star of the entire athletic department right now?
Yes, right now she is, and she'll probably continue that. She's come on the scene very well. Obviously, we have Kendrea, we have Rubio and people like that, but she's come on the scene. She's affable, and she does her social media very, very well, and she's engaging, so... Yeah, more power to her, and she'll get more and more fans.
The reason I say it is, look, all those guys you mentioned are all great guys and people to talk to, right? Rubio, Kendrea is amazing. As you know, I have a soft spot for Tony in soccer, right? They're all very great in an interview and very affable and very accessible, but she has that extra joie de vivre and energy that just nudges her up to number one right now.
Yes, in fact, I'm Googling that right now in my translator.
Joie de vivre. Thank you very much. It's your homework assignment.
You have to know how to spell it first, and if you're like me, it doesn't help, right?
Z, whatever I get lost up there.
Steven, what's going on the show today? What do you got for us?
I do have somebody. This is not Wing It Tuesday.
He's got a somebody. Okay.
Come on. You are fake news. Okay? You're fake news.
I have Rob Alvarez. He's getting ready for the El Tour de Tucson. He is a former champion of this event.
Mm.
He's riding for Beads of Courage.
Where's he from? Is he from Tucson?
Yeah, he's from Tucson.
Okay.
He's been riding for a long time. One of those great riders locally. Probably going to go after it again this next week. It's only in 10, 12 days now from now.
Very cool. Well, Steve, have an amazing show as always. The fun starts at 6:05 this evening on Eye on the Ball.
Yes, good to talk to you guys. Ed, take care. Go read me, please, Ed, please.
I would love to.
Where do we find your work, Stephen?
AllSportsTucson.com.
That's true.
Very cool.
That's true.
All right, sir. Have an amazing day and have a great show later.
You too. Thank you, guys.
Steve Rivera, our sports brother on the other end of the dial, on the other end of the time dial. So we come back. I'm going to start as we say in Seinfeld, we're going to name names. These are the people that blindly followed Chuck Huckleberry down the hole of 463 and repeated some of the stuff that he pretty much told them to repeat. 8:45 in the morning. Ed, burning. It's burning up over there.
This is Donald Roser. You know who that is?
He's the guy who was the roadie for Blue Oyster Cult.
He's Buck Dharma of Oyster Cult.
Thank you.
It's his birthday today.
Wake up. I never got to see that Godzilla King of the Monsters movie.
You didn't?
I know it probably stinks, but
it's probably
sure.
On Netflix. I saw it. That was last summer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that good, but it was...
As a Godzilla fan, would I enjoy it? Like, you know, I should go watch it on Netflix or one of these
exactly.
Things.
Watch it on Netflix.
All right.
It's Godzilla.
It.
You know how that goes.
All right. You need to go to the YouTube page for Wake Up Tucson and check out my interview with Gary Davidson, reading Chuck Huckleberry's own memos about basically how he kept on telling everyone, this is the final and only option we have to fund the roads. Then it turned out to be all bullcrap after we shot him down one more time. I can't believe the county. So again, it's either you're inept or you're a bullcrap artist. Pick one. So I decided I was looking at the You know that voter guide?
Yep.
That they give everybody?
Yep.
So I decided to look at the old voter guide.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
And
where you get to write your pros and cons and
right.
stuff like that.
Absolutely, okay. Ed Alexander.
Got it.
And, you know, so I looked at one of the pages in it. This is right in the beginning from the Chuckster, okay? And it says, on the Q&A, this is from the county, why can't the county use existing funds to repair the roads? The county relies on state shared revenue. These revenues are inadequate to fund all the transportation needs. It's going to be $100 million. Last year was like 90. Here's the magic. You got to listen to this sentence. This is from the county pamphlet from the county themselves. The county has exhausted every other available option for securing additional funding for road repair, and this bond election is the last opportunity to fix the roads in a reasonable time frame. So let's get to the arguments for, and I got the ones for, I didn't worry about the ones against. These are people that regurgitated Chucky's stuff. Some guy named, this is actually pretty, I like this one. Part of it is he says, ongoing state, this is a guy, Dennis Manano. Efforts to do a workable transportation system using state and federal money will fail if local road system they connect to, which are controlled, managed, and maintained by locally elected leadership, are disintegrating or in significant disrepair. We all know such are the roads in Pima County. I like this. I like the idea that Dennis said that it's under these local folks named Richard, Sharon, and Ramon. Here's the magic line. Scores of options to fund road repair have been diligently pursued but unsuccessful. Okay. Then we have Bobby Gugino, lawyer to the stars. This is one of the preferred lawyers in the county. Listen to this sentence. Don't believe the fault. This is from Bob Gugino. Don't believe the false and misleading opinions that existing revenues are sufficient. They are not. Prop 463 is the best currently available means to fix roads. Hey, Bobby, did you see the county just got their story by the paper where they said, "Oh, Landmark, they found $50 million a year to fix roads." Did you see that one, pal? What else do we got here? Oh, John Bernal, Priscilla Cornelio, who are, of course, the both previous transportation directors that sat there while Chuck underfunded the roads. Transportation professionals of 132 years. Current funding is insufficient. Pima County exhausted all available funding options. No, you didn't. Who else we got here? Mark Irvin, Mr. Rio Nuevo. Mark, just for FYI, was the one of the chairs, not last year, but the year before maybe, of the re-elect Sharon Bronson committee.
Great.
To be blunt, we have no more time to wait. Furthermore, its passage will actually reduce general fund burden. Contrary to what some would have you believe, this is the line. Mark Irvin, I love you for this line. It's so full of crap. I love it. Remember, he was the re-elect Sharon Bronson.
And he's with the county, right?
No, Rio Nuevo.
Okay.
He's a real estate guy who's on the real estate.
Yeah, that guy. Okay.
Contrary to what some would have you to believe, this situation was not the result of wasteful or inefficient spending. Of course it is. Of course it is. Come on, Mark. I know you're in the bag for this crew. Sad to say my friend Brent Arad at Visit Tucson got hoodwinked into writing one of these things. He put, this is our final opportunity in the future to get this job done. Not really. What else do we got here today? Costs are more. This is Dick and Nan Walden, the pecan people down in Sarita.
Baby, give me more water.
Thank you. Here's something I agree with them. The costs are even more consequential to those with lower incomes. Many in our community cannot afford a costly car repair or be without their vehicle.
And fix the roads.
Right. You should have been doing that for 20 years, people.
Good grief.
As Gary keeps telling you, right, a road from a road that you build and don't take care of, it collapses in 12 years. Right? So when Richard, Ramon, and Sharon have been there somewhere between 17, 18, and 24 years, it's on them. They can't say, oops. didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, I love Bob Ramirez. I like Bob. He's been very involved. Chamber chair, federal credit union fella. The only meaningful way for voters to truly support our state is to vote for support our state and regional governments in their efforts to secure transportation is to vote for the bond. If there's any hope for saving our degenerating roads, we must vote for the bond. Well, you know what we found out? That wasn't true either. Green Valley Council, the only viable solution left is Prop 463. Betsy Boulding, this is literally a no-brainer. No other funds are forthcoming. I love this line from Betsy. Betsy Boulding, no other funds are forthcoming. No miracle will take care of this. How about Chuck and the three Dems take the money out of a $1.3 billion budget to fix a road?
How dumb do we look?
Michael Rossi. He is the lobbyist for the paid lobbyist for the county. He's a contracted out employee. Rossi and Associates is his name, is the name of his company. I remember Amber from the Chamber before this used to work at MPA, the Metropolitan PMO Alliance. But before that, she worked for lobbyist Michael Rossi. Just remember that. That's important as we move through the next 12 months. What's he got here? The state. I like this number. I got to figure this one. He said the state diverted hundreds of millions of transportation money. Hundreds of millions? I got to see that number. Got to see that one. Here's another. Rossi is such an attack dog for Huckleberry. He has to be. He's paid for it. Contrary to baseless criticisms, Pima County's bonds have consistently received the highest ratings. No one's ever talked about them for transparency and accountability. It's the idea that the way you spend the money stinks. Baseless criticism. Yuck. Chris Schief, real estate guy. A few argue wasteful government spending is the reason the roads haven't been properly maintained. Of course that's the reason, Chris Schief. Chris, you can come on. All of you can have an hour with me on the show and convince me I'm wrong. To those who say government spending has been directed to other uses, this is a solution because the use of the bond proceeds are restricted to one purpose, to repair the roads. So what you're saying, Chris, is we should put that on Chuck? If we had to support that so much money not to go roads, are you there for that one? What else do we got here? Oh, Dave Hutchins, Tucson Electric Power. State transportation funding remains inadequate despite continued advocacy from Pima County, TEP, and other Southern Arizona businesses for additional resources. Oh, thank God Randy Carr, the guy from Golden Ranch Fire who just slammed that bond down your throat, that's the guy who said that if you close 36 holes of golf, people are going to die.
We're all going to die, yeah.
Rick Price. He likes to put RB Price. It's funny. He's a real estate guy, but I think he's ashamed that he's even on here, so he doesn't put his full name. But he's a big Bronson supporter. Pima County has insufficient funds to address the problems with a exclamation point. Now, Amber and Barbie from the Chamber actually did a four, of course, but they didn't repeat too much of Chuck's crap, so that's good. And then for some reason, Amber had her husband write one too. Robert Smith, firefighter. That was cute. So anyway, I just thought it was cute reading after we've learned that Chuck did have the money in the account. The reason I bring this up tomorrow, well, Allie's on tomorrow for a full hour at the 8 o'clock hour. So that'll be good having Supervisor Miller here. But all of these people who shoved this crap down your throat, regurgitating Chuck's bullcrap, are all going to come back, in about 8 months, and they're going to try to shove Sharon Bronson down your throat. Wait till that happens. All of these people that just regurgitated all this stuff that we know in the end wasn't really true, right? And I'm not saying they knew. They were just going on bad information from Chucky Poo without – I think they didn't – of course, they want to be – they want to kiss the county's rear end instead of actually doing some good research here on this stuff. They're all going to come back like a bad nightmare on you in the summer and say, Sharon Bronson's the most pro-business person ever, and now we're fixing the roads after she let them fall apart for 23 years. KVOI.com. Zach's coming up. Wake up.